Thank you very much for the music team. Lovely that you are helping us. Thanks, Peter. To worship God. My name is Hans, as it has been said before. I'm coming from Germany, and I hope that you're not too offset by my German accent, but that you can all understand and hear, because it's important that we listen to the Word of God. Let me introduce my family to you quickly. I have three kids. We live in Nairobi, Kenya right now. And my wife, her name is Sabine. She grew up in Uitenhage and has studied at UCT. So, and we have even a sending church in Cape Town. So it's amazing that we can be here. Greetings from my family to you. On the next slide, I show the picture of the backers once again. And I just want to thank you people that you have sent the backers to us, to Asia, and to OMF. We once sent a lady called Marion from Germany to Cambodia, and she worked at a remote place, and there was a little group of her church coming to visit her. And at the last night of their visit, an old lady from a village came walking for miles because she wanted to greet the visitors. And what she said really touched my heart. She said, "Thank you for sending Marion to us." You know, we can hear the gospel, but when we hear it lived, when we see it tangibly lived in a human person, that touches our heart. So thank you, dear church, for sending Marion. And I want to say on behalf of the Thai church, thank you very much to sending Nick and Trish, and thank you very much also to sending them to serve with us in OMF. And thank you that you still continue to support them and guide them. This is their spiritual home, so thank you so much. Let me talk about the church in Ephesians. And I want to start with an illustration that Hudson Taylor himself gave over 150 years ago. He was talking to a conference and he told the story when he was first in China. He was traveling on a boat and they were reaching almost the port where they were going to. And he saw a young Chinese man. He was standing and looking, and somehow he felt like, wow, I need to pray for this man. And he prayed for this man. But when they were coming close to the port, he went on the deck and got his things, and he suddenly heard a bump. And after the bump, he heard somebody fall into the water, so he rushed up, and the guy was gone. So he asked what happened. He fell in. So he dived after him, but he couldn't find him. So he shouted for some fishermen and said, "Hey, bring your net over here. Quickly, quickly, quickly." "Ah, it's not convenient." "Hey, hey, hey, somebody just died. Somebody just drowned. If you come with your net..." "We don't have any time." "Well, well, well, I give you money." "How much are you giving us?" "All I have." "Well, how much is that?" So it took them ages to finally come after he offered that he would give them all his money. And they just put their net down and dragged it along, and the guy came up within a minute. But it was too late. And he was dead. And we might be appalled about these fishermen, about their lack of commitment about a human life. But what Hudson Taylor challenged his congregation in England in those days is saying, look, in the same way we know that millions are dying out there without the gospel, and in the same way we are unconcerned, and in the same way we say, oh, it's not convenient, it will cost me too much, I just don't have time right now. So please, as I pray and as I preach, I want you to listen to this sermon for yourself, okay? Because often when we hear missionary sermons, we listen for our neighbor, okay? God, send us. God, you know, come with us, but send my sister. That's often our prayer. So I pray today that you may listen for yourself, okay? That this sermon is for you, and that it's not what this funny German guy is talking, but that what is the Holy Spirit talking. This is what is important today. Lord, we pray that you may guide us, and as we share your word, Lord Jesus, we pray that you may come and be in our midst. Lord, we depend on you. We don't have anything to share if it's not from you. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the book of Ephesians and how Paul lays out missions in the book of Ephesians. You might have looked through the 66 books of your Bible and you have found that there is no book that is called missions. Okay? So somehow, the Bible forgot to talk about missions, you know, because there's no special book. Well, this is one solution. The other solution might be that missions is integrated in everything that the disciples did. Missions is not something separate where you need a separate book for. Missions is what the disciples did. Missions is what the churches lived and breathed day and night. That's why you don't have a separate book on missions. Okay? So let's look at that. What does Paul describe in Ephesians about missions? And we will see that he links it very, very closely to church. Okay? So that's why I called this the Ephesian community of faith. I show you on a map where Ephesians is. Ephesians was a big city, 250,000 plus, that's the estimate, of people that lived there. It was a provincial capital. It was, you know, you had super rich people and super poor people there. You had Greeks, you had Jews, you had all kinds of religions, all kinds of people from all kinds of streets and walks of life. So this was a multicultural, multi-religious, multi-whatever place. And, you know, remember the story of Artemis, the picture that they said that came down from heaven somehow. It was a, yeah, almost a demonic city in many things. You remember that in Acts, they brought together the books of sorcery. And when they burned them, they calculated that it's 50,000 days of work, the worth of the books that they burned. So this is the place and this is the situation that this word is released to. Okay? Just for you to understand the background. Because of time, I want to go along of two words that I found in the text. The one thing in Ephesians 2:15, it talks about the purpose of Christ in enduring the cross. Now, why did Christ endure the cross? And Paul talks about the purpose of Christ in enduring the cross. And in Ephesians 3:10, that's my second point, he talks about the intention of God for creating the church. Okay? So you might be happy to know that there was an intention why God created the church. Okay? And we want to look at that. So let's go to the very first point and let me read Ephesians 2:14-22 to you. If you have a Bible, please read along. It's my responsibility to preach the Word of God. It's your responsibility to make sure that it is the Word of God, okay? So please read along, check what I'm saying, check it from the Word of God. I start at verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become the holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We are talking about the purpose of Christ. And we read in verse 15, His, Christ's purpose. Okay? The purpose of Christ was to create in Himself a new humanity out of the two, thus making peace in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So the purpose of God was to create, you could say, the church. Paul is using the word a new humanity. In missions, we stop talking about, or we sometimes avoid the word church, because church is often recognized as a building. We are not talking about a building or a certain denomination or way of worship. We are talking about a community of faith, of people who have been saved and come together to worship the living God and live out what it means to belong to God. So that's the community of faith that we are talking. So it was the purpose of God, the purpose of Christ in enduring the cross, was to create this new humanity. Okay? So you can judge for yourself as we now look at the text and as we paint the picture how this community of faith looks. You can judge for yourself whether your church, which I don't know, is very similar to that picture or not. Okay? So that's over to you. I just show you how I feel what God is putting up for us in the Bible. So let's look at the picture. First of all, Paul says, all are saved by grace from a state without Christ. All of us came from a state without Christ. God has children. He never has grandchildren. Each and every person in this planet needs to decide from himself whether he wants to follow Christ or not. So, as you can see maybe on the picture, they are different colors, they are divided. That was the curse of Babel, that we were divided, the cultures, the languages. It's normal when people fight each other and cannot get along. That is the norm. Okay? It's not the exception. Unfortunately, this is the norm since the Tower of Babel, at least even before. So what we are talking now is that God has something new. He says, I'm taking those peoples and by grace, I bring them to salvation. So the next thing that we read is all are reconciled with God and with each other. Okay? Through the cross. So that's the next slide. All are reconciled with God, but also with each other. I used that picture and I changed the color of the men, okay? They had different colors before, but now they have the same color because their main identity is their identity in Christ and they belong together. Let me tell you something. There is no reconciliation with God if there is not reconciliation with other Christians. You cannot be a Christian and say, oh, but I'm fighting my Christian brother. It just doesn't work. We are reconciled to God and we are reconciled to each other through the cross. That's the purpose of the cross. The next step is that we see all experience the peace, no matter of their previous relationship with God. And all have access to the Father by one Spirit. All are fellow citizens and members of God's household. We are belonging. We are fellow citizens. We belong together because of the cross of Christ. And all are built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets with Jesus, the chief cornerstone. So it's the work of Christ who allows us to be Christians and who allows us to be a church, a fellowship of faith. It's nothing else. It's not our own doing. It's not our own being good. Sorry to disappoint you. It's the foundation of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. But more than that, all together we form a holy temple in the Lord. We are individually parts of this temple and the Holy Spirit lives in us. But we together, that's what Paul says, become the temple of God. And one step further, he even says, all are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Isn't it amazing that God chooses to live in our fellowship, in us coming together? He wants to dwell among us. So if God is anywhere visible in this world, the easiest to access him is in the church, because he chose to dwell among us. This is the reason why you sometimes need to invite your friends, not to see the great musicians or Sam cracking a joke on the bass guitar. Why you need to bring him is because Jesus is among us. And the most important thing is that your friends need to know is who Jesus is. And here is a place where he can meet them. Okay? So the church is the place where Christ dwells. Now, we wanted to talk about the purpose of Christ. And it has something to do with mystery. Okay? Paul talks about mystery. So I hope you guys like mystery stories. Many kids like mystery stories. But here is a mystery, and let me read it for you from chapter 3, 1 to 6. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to man in other generations, as it has been now revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostle and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promises in Christ Jesus. The text is on the screen again. This mystery that has not been known before is that now everything is brought together under one man, under Christ, in heaven and on earth. This is a mystery that has not been known before. And it's wonderful that we can be part of this. So this group is a group that has actually been hand-chosen by God. He brought people from all the nations and different tribes and different languages, and he brings them into his body. And he says, I am proud that this is my body. God is proud of you to be here, to be part of his body. And he forms us to be a light to the nations. So Paul is just over the moon about this mystery. It has not been revealed before, but now we are Christ on this world. And that's why you see in the letter of Ephesians that he again and again, he just worships and sings. Let me read Ephesians 1:3. That's where he starts. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all the heavenly, in all the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he has chosen us. And then he has adopted us. He has predestined us. He has given us redemption. He has made known to us. And he just goes on. And it's one of the longest sentences in the New Testament. Okay? Because he's just so overwhelmed about this blessing and rejoicing that God is doing. Because God has formed this community of faith. And it's a mystery. But there is one other thing. He not only worships about it, he does something about it. And I want to read to you the next few verses. Verse 3, verse 7 to 9. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Do you see that it was the purpose of Christ, the purpose of the cross, to create a new humanity? And this was a mystery, and Paul is so excited about it. But he says, there is more to be done. I, with my little life, with my little strength, I want to place my purposes under the purpose of Christ. If this was so important to the living God that he lets his only son die on the cross to create this new humanity, if this was so important to him, I, with my life, I want to serve this purpose. This is an amazing thought. Okay? So, missionaries and all that, they don't go because they feel... I sometimes say I'm called to the Chinese because I like their food so much. Okay? Yeah? So, but Paul doesn't say, look, I like the food of the Gentiles so much. As a Jew, I'm even sure that he was hating the food of the Gentiles because he was not allowed to eat it. But he says, I've understood from the scriptures. I've understood that it's God, so important to God to create this new humanity. It was so important that he even sent his only son to die. Well, how about I put my life, the purpose of my life, should be to serve Christ's purpose. That's amazing, folks. And I hope that one of us, that you all think about, how can my life serve the purpose of Christ? So he does two things. The first thing he says is, I am going to preach. Okay? God makes known through me. Where we are? Yes, I'm on the wrong page. You're on the right page. Thank you. To preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Well, this is what we expect of a missionary, okay? That he goes out and preaches. So it's nothing new, okay? So, but still, it's amazing. But he says another thing. And I hope you can see this, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. What does that mean? We don't like administration. Who likes administration? Huh? Doing admin? Everybody wants to do the real thing, okay? Admin is a pain. But Paul says, I'm going to preach. And I need to make plain the administration of this mystery. Why does he say that? Because he knows that it is difficult to live together. This community of faith sounds so great. Oh, hallelujah, everybody together and loving each other. And oh, wonderful, you know, we should have that more often. But it's difficult. It is very, very difficult. I even fight with my wife. Do you know that the biggest cause for trouble on the mission field is missionaries not agreeing with each other? And let me, should I ask your pastor, what's the greatest difficulty in your church? I guess that it's people not agreeing to work with each other. So Paul is sure, you know, this is the beautiful picture. The beautiful picture of the bride of Christ, everybody working together. But it is difficult. And that's why he says, it's my job to make plain the administration of this mystery. How you can work together. How this can be lived out. And in his letters, he goes over and over and over again. Be children of the light. Be in unity. This is how you need to live. Fathers do this. Children do that. Husbands do this, wives do that. He teaches over and over and over again how to live this unity in the church, how to live this community of faith. I even believe that Paul's letters are actually a handbook of how to make plain this mystery. It's a handbook of how to live as a church and to be radiant in this world, okay? So he says, I am placing my purpose, the purpose of my life, under Christ's purpose. And I preach the gospel, and I help that this community of faith can be lived in this world. Now let me go on. This is the full picture again. I just wanted you to see it again. This is why Christ died for. He wants us to be a fellowship. A fellowship, a community of faith. And the letters are almost a handbook to show us how this ministry can be lived. And by the way, if we look into Revelations, you will have realized that in Revelation 7, they worship together before the throne from all nations, all tribes, all languages, all peoples. So this is where we are going. This is the great trend in the Holy Scriptures, that we will be together before the throne of God. So if we will spend eternity like that, let's start here. Let's get used to it, okay? Because this is what God wants us to be. Okay, I said I have 2 points. The second one is very, very short. So let me do this. It's God's intention. And I read the next few verses for you. Verse 3:10. His intention was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we talked about Christ's purpose. The purpose for the cross was to create this new fellowship of faith, the community of faith. But why? Why did God create the church? And that's the question that Paul is answering right here. God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. So, it's not the missionaries that we are sending, the people that we are paying to do the job for us, okay? It's not the missionaries that we are sending. It's the church itself that is the missionary. As we are coming together, as we are living faith, as we are having the fellowship and the love, the forgiveness, the struggles, the strives together, this is what shows by the wisdom of God to the world, the seen and the unseen world, who Christ really is. So don't hold back. We often think that we need to be chocolate Christians, you know. We just show our chocolate side to everybody, okay? This is not real. And everybody looking at us knows it's not real. And that's why they don't want to become a Christian, you know. Because I want to be real. So be real in this world. Show your struggles. But also show how God is in your struggles. Okay? It's the intention of God that through the church, through this community of faith, he will be made known. And I put you some... Click the next. Yes. So, okay. So I hope you see that. It shines from there. It goes out from there. This is the mission that God is doing. God is glorified and people can see and be drawn into this fellowship. Two small examples that I have to say. I was once with OM. That was when the Iron Curtain was still there. Okay. So we went with a team of 11 people from 10 different nations behind the Iron Curtain to Hungary, to the Balaton, and we pitched some tents. We knew we couldn't preach the gospel, so we just started living there as Christians. And it took 2 days when an East German came to me and said, "You guys, what drugs are you taking?" I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, you're so different. You know, we can realize that you can hardly speak each other's language, but you're singing and joyful. And so what's the drug? Tell me." This is what's shining. Everybody knows the curse of Babylon. We cannot work together. Everybody knows that. But when they see the unity among Christians, this is what speaks volumes. Another small example. There was a Chinese brother who was reading the Bible with one of our co-workers. And they went for week after week and month after month. And the co-worker was really getting impatient because what else should I tell this guy to become a Christian? One Tuesday night when he came, terrible things happened. And the kids were naughty and there was fighting in the family. And the father started screaming and shouting. And after a while he realized, "Oh, we have a visitor." That's embarrassing, huh? The following week, the Chinese becomes a Christian. And the co-worker asks him, why now? And he said, "Because I saw how you reacted in the realities and the difficulties of life. And that's what I need. I need to know that this faith that I'm joining, this God knows how to handle my struggles. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, that in the way we live, the redemptive work of Christ may be seen. Okay? This is the intention of God. So I come to my last slide, and I just want to say, why the cross? The cross was because Christ created a new humanity. He created the church, the fellowship of believers. And why the church? Because through the church, through who we are, not through what we say, through who we are, God wants to reach the world. I want to lead you to a last passage in Acts 19. Maybe you can just open that. Acts 19, verse 10. There is Paul, and he came to Ephesus, and he preached for 2 years, okay? And he, because there were trouble in the synagogue, he took the people to a lecture hall, okay? They had not a nice church building. He went to a pagan lecture hall, and for 2 years he preached. Now, let us read what the scripture says. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Paul did one thing. He preached for 2 years. Now, who do you think were the ones that went and made this message known so that everybody, the Greeks and the Jews, in the whole province, heard the word of God? It was the ordinary church people who took the word with them wherever they went. It was not the missionary that did the job, but it was the shining of that community of faith into all the world and into all the province. And that's my prayer for you guys, that you take what you hear from this pulpit and that you live it out in the world. Let me close the sermon, and I just want to pray the prayer of Ephesians. So we are back in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and I just want to pray along this prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians, and I want to pray it for us. Father, we thank you that we can hear your word. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. We don't have strength, we don't have power. It's all about you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us with your power through the Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, Lord Jesus, make us rooted and established in your love, that we may have power together with all the other saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to you, the living God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to your great power that is in work in us, to you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.